Well, Jesus, as we learned last week and again heard this week, he proclaimed his true identity. And he, in the Gospel of John, continued saying, "I am the bread of life." We know that the words "I am" steer us to one truth. I am is God. I am the bread of life. And preparing for today's message, I was drawn to our epistle reading written by the Apostle Paul to the church, the people at Ephesus, about behavior and how we're to treat one another, as we just talked with the kids. In any kind of relationship, it's incredibly important for us to be able to get along with one another. You know, there's some things that I've heard in the past. It's like, why can't we just get along? And Paul, in the whole epistle to the Ephesians, is trying to give those people a wake-up call on how they're supposed to act towards one another. And we can learn from that very well. And at the beginning of the service, we always hear the summary of the law, that we're to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. And the second commandment is like it. You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. How we're to behave is not just about how when we are in church, but several important questions that I think we need to reflect upon and ask ourselves. How do you treat the person who serves you at the restaurant? Especially if they bring you the wrong thing. Do you treat them with respect? Or do you snarl at them and sneer and talk down to them? Do you treat them like a servant? Or like another person who's working hard to be able to feed their family? How do you treat the person who's scanning your items at Harvey's on the checkout line? Or Walmart? How do you treat the person who's sitting right next to you, especially in church? The Lord's concerned about how his church is behaving, especially towards one another. And so he inspired the Apostle Paul to write about relationships. I'm going to ask you to turn to page 1819 in your pew Bibles. And we'll begin with verse 25, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 25. "Therefore, each one of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Have you ever heard that line before? How about at the offertory? "Now walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We hear it every Sunday. Does it sink in? Do we do what we're supposed to do? Well, apparently the people of the early church in Ephesus were not the kindest people that you'd want to meet. The person who was crawling along, following or below the speed limit in the car right in front of you yesterday. How did you feel about that? In New York, you'd be honking your horn. That's frowned upon here in the South. Did you, when you went around them, when the hash lines came up, did you look at them? Did you make a comment or a gesture? Did they do any back to you? Let's face it happens. It's called road rage. It's bad. We're not supposed to treat each other that way. But we have to get there first. We have to get there before anybody else. We've got some place to be. You know what amazes me? People seem to take forever making a right turn. You're driving along 441, north or south, and all of a sudden, okay, the blinker goes on about a half a mile before they're going to turn, and then they slow down to a crawl and turn ever so slowly into the driveway. Why? I don't know. They have something on their mind, or they're doing it, but they have to do it their way. Oh, well. Well, the Apostle Paul writes that good behavior is not and should not be something that's negotiable. It's unconditionally necessary for us to be considerate of one another. First, we've got to be honest with one another. I want you to think back to verse 25 that we just read. Speak truthfully to your neighbor. This is a reference to God speaking through the prophet Zechariah, saying, these are the things you are to do. Here we're hearing rules again. Just like the kids heard this morning and told me. Speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgment in your courts. Do not plot evil against each other. And do not love to swear falsely. I hate all this. Have you ever thought about that person who's making that right turn, that they might be doing that just to get your dander up? I don't know. Or maybe it's just the way they are. So love them anyway. It's not easy. Not easy. That's from Zechariah 8, 16 to 17. God said, I hate all this. All of this behavior has its own names. Have you ever heard the term backbiting? Lies? False witness against your neighbor? Did you see what Mary Jo is doing? Did you see what Henry is doing? Did you see what Zelda did yesterday? What about rumors? And gossip? It all goes together. It's like this massive net that catches and is filled with lies, not flies. The fact remains that none of them are any good in the body of Christ. That whole list I just gave you. It's also important for us to remember that the same person that we see here in church all of the time is who we really are. We need to be consistently the same person 24/7. I've asked this question before. Who are you when nobody's looking? Are you the same person that got all gussied up for church? Or are you the same person that's really giving it to that person who is making that right turn? Are you the same person that gets all dressed up to go to church, or maybe even to the doctor's office, or to the Kiwanis Club, or the Rotary Club, or the Chamber of Commerce, or whatever it might be? Paul's message is to the church of both yesterday and today. And it's very simply comes down to one phrase. Behave yourself. It's true. Get off your high horse and think that you're better than anybody else or your schedule is better than somebody else. Behave yourself. Be truthful. Watch what you say and even how you say it. Words can have an unbelievable impact on any relationship. And Paul says, while you're at it, don't steal. And don't give the enemy a foothold by holding on to anger. Have you ever seen somebody who's angry and filled with rage? You could just see the veins bulging in their neck. Their temples are throbbing out and out and out. They're just angry. When we're labeled as Christians, the spotlight is on you. It's like you have a target on your back. If people see you, they've got a fish on their car. I want to see how they act. They're hypocrites. They're calling themselves Christians. And when they see that kind of behavior, it turns people off and says, is that what these people are really like? Is that what these Christians are like? Do I really want to be like that? And it's not just today. It was visible in St. Paul's day as well. And Paul wrote these letters to Ephesus and to Corinth. mourning people. He loved them and he ministered to them. And he loves us and he tells us what we need to know. And that, when we ignore God's word, that's what grieves the Holy Spirit. Because we mistreat our brothers and sisters in Christ, other believers. We're called to be kind and considerate to one another. Jesus knows, above all, he knows we're not perfect. He lived 33 years on this earth, and he witnessed behavior firsthand. He was tempted, yet he did not sin. And I truly believe that Jesus understands that it would be impossible to ask someone to not get angry. He got angry. In verse 26 of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul cautions us not to sin in our anger. And that refers to Psalm 4, verse 4, which says, go ahead and be angry, but do not sin. Do you take medication for blood pressure? It's part of today's life. If you suppress the anger, it's not going to help you. It's going to do more harm than good. And you need to know that it's okay to get angry. Jesus got angry. In three of the Gospels, Matthew 21:12, Mark 11:15, and John 2:14 and 15, Jesus became angry with the merchants in the temple. But it was righteous anger, and it did not lead him to sin. He hurt no one, but he drove them out of his Father's house. And Paul reminds us that we need to follow the example of Jesus. Because anger that's allowed to smolder and burn over time can eventually burst into a flame. And that does nobody any good. It gives an enormous foothold to evil, to the devil. On the other hand, our anger needs to be handled properly. By not indulging to angry feelings or letting them lead to pride or hatred or even seemingly a feeling of self-righteousness. My mom and dad promised each other, and we learned from this, I learned from it specifically, from this scripture, never go to bed angry. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Marilyn and I made that promise over 41 years ago. We got married 41 years, but we made a promise while we were dating that we would never leave each other to go home and go to bed and be angry with one another. It does no good. And it's been a tremendous blessing. It all boils down to how we deal with each other in relationships. It's not just about marriage. Did you know that wonderful reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is patient, love is kind. We hear it at weddings, but it's not about weddings. It's about you and you and you and how you deal with one another and how I deal with you. How we treat each other. Something to strive for. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it's not rude, and it's not self-seeking. Not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Most importantly, love never fails. Sounds like a wedding, doesn't it? But if you were hearing it at a wedding, it would most certainly fit. But it was not written for the bride and groom. It was written for the Christian, for the church, as a reminder of how we are supposed to behave ourselves towards one another. And they work beautifully as a reminder in any relationship. I've often, whenever I am counseling somebody and getting them prepared for marriage, I have, and I've also preached on this, I teach about 12 words that are important in any relationship. And the 12 words are very simple. And they work for our friendship, for our loved ones, for our parents, for our children. And the 12 words are, I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. It's 12 important words. If you take that into any relationship, it is going to help to calm any problem. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. They go hand in hand with verses 31 and 32 from today's reading. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Kindness is one of the purest forms of the imitation of God. How would you feel if God was the kind of God who was always making vicious or nasty remarks about you? Oh. How would you feel if you felt that you couldn't trust God to tell you the truth? Or if he was always losing his temper with you? And how do people feel about us if that's what we're like? And how wonderfully blessed we are to have an example that we follow. His name is Jesus Christ, who is the true God, and that he's the standard for what we're to aim for. This great love for us led God the Father to sacrifice his own Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might live. And we can do this by following Christ's example. I want to share with you words from the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2, 21-24. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Each one of us has been called to a life filled with love for others, fully transformed through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And through that transformation, we should show the same kind of love that he showed us to others. He gave himself as a sacrifice to take away our sins, a blood sacrifice acceptable to Almighty God, a fragrant aroma that was pleasing to the Father. It's my prayer that as I pray these words, coming up shortly, that you take them to heart and follow God's example dearly as beloved children and walk in the ways of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.